This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
In 2 days of high drama, New York City's Occupy Wall Street defended its home base at Liberty Square, then joined with protests around the country and around the world by participating in a day of diverse actions, protesting from Liberty Square to Washington Square Park and other venues, leading to a mass convergence at Times Square. I'm at Liberty Square. The place is packed. The UN mic is on. They are making announcements. There seems to be some breaking news.
Late last night!
We received notice from the owners of Zuccotti Park! Brookfield Properties that they are postponing their cleaning!
The people united will never be defeated! The people united will never be defeated!
We have a victory here. And I'm with a supporter, and what your name is?
Pat Fry.
And how do you interpret this new development?
It's a victory. There are so many people down at this park this morning that came out 5, 6 o'clock. The turnout here is terrific, and unions were mobilized in their membership to get down here internally. This is really a show of solidarity like we haven't seen in many years.
Massive crowd here. What do you think is going to be going on from now on?
Well, I think they're going to be prepared to defend the park.
Why do you think this is so important?
They said it. We're fighting for a new world. And I say we, but we're following the lead of these young people that are really showing us the way. This is a new day for the progressive movement and for the fight against Wall Street excess. It's got to stop.
Thanks so much. You have to make some comments on what's going on here.
Yeah, it's a gathering of people who are outraged at the disparity in income and wealth in the country, at the flight of jobs for decades, at the lack of care by our political so-called leaders for our country and for our future, at the graduation by students with enormous debt, at the spending of hundreds of billions of dollars every year on war. It's people who are saying enough is enough, and that's why people are here. That's why I'm here.
Why do you think the city caved?
Oh, because it's been clean. So it was just a pretext to get us out. And people stood up, they recognized it, and they said, no way. Yeah, I think the number of people made a difference, and Occupy It for the People as a forum, as a public assembly that's peaceful to discuss the future of our country.
And what's your name and what do you do?
My name's Rob Jureski. I'm an electrician.
Larissa Peterson is with us now. From last night to this morning, I happen to have seen this particular woman who was ardent about the cleaning, but I was never clear that the park even needed cleaning.
There's been cleaning happening throughout the occupation. There are various work groups that have been formed by volunteers who each have a part in the process. Cleaning has been ongoing, but there have been also sleeping areas and living areas, and that is what the Brookfield Properties Company took issue with, though really they take issue with us being here, and that's the excuse. So we decided to beat them at their own game and clean up as much as was possible and leave the park spotless.
On the broader issue, there still is concern that the city has talked about that they do not want people to be here with sleeping bags and tarps, which is a virtual challenge as winter comes on. So what do you think about that?
It's a very clear plan to get us out of the park by not letting us have structures or sleeping bags or any sort of comfort But that alone won't stop us. Either we'll continue to have the things here, and then the city won't really come in and sweep us. If they decide to forcibly remove all of those materials, we can just come in and stay here in shifts. And if in the end we are forced out of the park, there are other places to congregate in the city, and the movement is now not only nationwide, but worldwide.
What drew you to Liberty Square?
Just feel like it's about time. Things are really very wrong in this country, and we need to start this dialogue. The people who are in charge, whether it's corporations or government, are not very interested in having this dialogue. So right now we need to make as much noise as possible to make sure that this dialogue happens, and that's what's important. Because we are the 99%. Because this is about everybody. It's not Republican, Democrat, black, white, young, old, homeless, jobless, whatever it is. It concerns us all, because only 1% really has the money and the power.
Well, we're here with Russell Simmons and thousands of others. And obviously there's something affirmative. I can see it in your face for you being here. If you can explain to us why you feel positive about the activities.
I have a simple scenario. We take the money out of Washington. Let the people govern the country, not business. And all the signs about the prison industrial complex and all of the signs about breaking up the unions and all the discussions about moving jobs offshore unjustly and all the signs about tax breaks and all that stuff goes away the minute the people rule. Would the people say, okay, hedge funds don't pay taxes? So we're not governed by the people, we're governed by Wall Street, and we want to change that. We're here because they're part of the 100%. I mean, they say the 99%, but really it's the 100%. Anybody who's smart enough knows isolation is sickness. And if communities are suffering, then they're here for all communities. And they know that the rights that they protect for themselves are no more valuable than the rights they protect for others. Should be that the politicians work for the people who elect them, not the corporations who control them. And the corporations should not have access to these politicians. It's simple. When the Supreme Court said, oh, it's the corporations are people, they lied. And they made a bad mistake and have to reverse that. It may take a constitutional amendment, but they have to take the money out of Washington.
And what are you prepared or able to lend to the growth and the evolution of this burgeoning movement, which really has become worldwide?
I'm here. My presence is of some use. You know, I help, and I gave a little money and brought some water, and it's my prayers that make a difference, I think.
Thank you.
And the recession has been going on for a while now. What do you think the protests have burgeoned so fast right now? What is this movement doing right?
What's doing right is that it's peaceful, that it's thoughtful, that the people are courageous, and that they have honest intentions. And no matter how they try to frame them, they are very, very politically astute and know what they want.
Thanks, God, bailed out.
It's now Saturday morning, and we're focusing with Occupy Wall Street, thousands of people who are marching on Chase Bank to demonstrate that number one in American home foreclosures is Chase Bank, that they had received $94.7 billion in bailout money and then immediately laid off 14,000 workers, and that Chase CEO Jamie Dimon gave himself a record-setting bonus last year. Occupy Wall Street Day of Action Against Banks. We're here having just circled Chase Bank with a young woman and her daughter. She's a resident of the area, and I'm interested in how she views the occupation of Liberty Square. And you are?
I'm Jane Sujen Bach, and I'm here with my daughter, Liana Chow.
And you are?
Daughter?
Liana.
And how old are you?
12. I think that it's a good protest because there's a good cause that the rich people shouldn't be getting so rich and that the poor people are getting too poor.
Now, as a resident, what do you think about this occupation?
We've lived downtown for decades, and I walk through Zuccotti Park every day on my way to and from work, and it has been incredibly moving to see the young people organize among themselves and then inspire other people from all walks of life. This morning, I was so upset to read in the New York Times that the bankers feel that it's just a bunch of people who don't have anything else to do who are here protesting. I know that not to be true. We live in the heart of the financial district. There are people on every spectrum who care, who want to see this country be more just, who want to see a financial system that isn't just about only enriching the people at the top, but that also cares so that people at every level of this country have opportunity and have good lives.
And do you want to expand a bit on your reasons for being here in terms of the role of banks in the financial crisis?
I represent homeless families. Many of our families have become homeless because of the financial practices of the largest institutions. We see people who become homeless because of foreclosure. So it would be in everyone's interest if these practices could be reformed, if we could have a new direction in this country that really was aimed at giving everyone a fair chance. I'm a lawyer for the Legal Aid Society, and I represent homeless families. It's so sad that I have more clients now than when I began this work decades ago because of the increasing inequality.
There was a very important lawsuit on what's known as the Advantage Program, where people who were exiting the shelter were given some amount of money to have housing for some limited amount of time. Can you just tell us the status of the Advantage Program?
In the Advantage Program, the city entered into contracts with the homeless families and the landlords so that the city would subsidize the rent of families leaving shelter to give families 1 or 2 years to get on their feet and be able to pay market rents. They were contracts, and if they had been treated like business contracts, the city would have been made to honor them. But instead, the city unilaterally cut off the rent subsidies and told the families that they were on their own, leaving 16,000 families without a way to pay their rent. We have had a trial and lost, and that is now on appeal. But 11,000 families are now on the brink of eviction because the city is insisting that they do not have to honor those contracts.
We've been speaking with Jane Suyenbach and her young daughter, who, again, are occupants of the area that is occupied by our communities now, Occupy Wall Street. And we're going to move on to another brother, Ricky Bloom. I see that you have a United Automobile Workers pink cap. Tell us about your work and what that has to do with being at Occupy Wall Street.
I'm an employment lawyer, and I represent low-wage workers who have not been paid what they're supposed to be paid, or who've been discriminated against, or both, in many instances, because they're often very ethnically segregated labor forces in the service sector, like restaurants, where Latinos are in the back and white people get to serve customers. So we see both discrimination and wage violations.
So what are we doing here protesting against the banks? How does that tie into what you were talking about before in terms of low-wage workers?
The 99% that we've been talking about in these demonstrations and in this movement are the people who work to produce the wealth of this country. And what we've seen in a long time, but it's been particularly acute in recent years, is that the people who make the wealth are not the people who then get to keep it. The money is taken by employers who don't pay them, by banks that steal from us all in all sorts of fraudulent schemes, and then we bail them out with our tax dollars. This is wealth that should belong to us and should be used for us. We should have a say in how it's used. That's democracy. This is a movement about democracy, about making sure that people who work hard, who are part of the working class, which is most of us, get to have the benefit of our work, whether they're restaurant workers or domestic workers or legal services workers, union members, non-union members, because people can't unionize because union busting is the dominant response to unions in this country. Illegal union busting is rampant. So all of these workers should have a say, and that's what this movement is about.
Ricky Bloom, thank you.
Very welcome.
And this time I will particularly acknowledge that there is a pink UAW hat, and since no one else has a pink UAW hat, why do you?
I see it in two things. One is the pinko tradition, and the other is, as an LGBT activist, I like having a bright pink hat.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
He has a button that says education is a right, and he's got a United Immigrants hat. So what do those two things have to do with Occupy Wall Street?
We want to know that the people know that this is ridiculous. You want to go to study at the university or the college, you must pay the height. That's impossible. That's so ridiculous. You want to study, maybe you are good students. That's impossible to you go to pay $100,000 only for your study. Come on, that's crazy. Maybe I don't have a possibility for pay for go to the university. That's crazy for me. I don't have money. I try to work hard for pay my rent, for pay my bills, for support my family. That's crazy. I can't do it. Not only me. That's too much younger people. Well, these are the great nation. That's the power. But the people have the power. We are the power. We just to want to that our boys, these guys, the 1% listen to our boys. We don't want the troubles. We don't want to destroy anything. We don't need the police brutality. We are in the peace. We are the students. We choose to want to study. We choose to live in peace.
Are you a student?
Yeah, I'm a student. I'm studying English for go to the school. I am in an institution for human study.
Well, that's great. And where are you from originally?
I am from Ecuador. I'm Carlos Ortega.
Carlos, it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
What's your name?
Harry.
Brooklyn.
I'm with Harry, who's got a hard hat on, and he's from Brooklyn, and I wonder what the hard hat signifies.
The reason why I have this hard hat on because I used to do construction until they shut us down, so it's hard for me to find a construction job. So I'm hopefully they make a change and build more things so I have a job to do.
What kind of construction work were you in and what happened?
I was doing sheetrock. I was hanging sheetrock. And we just got laid off because there wasn't no jobs. So hopefully by them building new jobs, I'll be able to get into one and start back doing construction.
And what neighborhood in Brooklyn, by the way?
Brownsville.
Now, Brownsville happens to be the third poorest neighborhood in the city. So what does this movement of Occupy Wall Street that you've chosen to relate to today have to do with any of the conditions and concerns you might have as a resident of Brownsville?
It's just a big struggle. Everybody trying to find a way to earn a dollar. Everybody trying to find a way to provide for their family. But how can they provide for their family when the money's getting taken away? Well, basically, this is where everything starts from. I'd rather be where it starts from than not be where it at all. So by me being down here, hopefully, with all these people out here protesting, you know, they open up their eyes and realize that we're not playing, we want change.
And do you think that other brothers in the construction trades and people from Brownsville are going to come here too, or should this movement go to Brownsville? How are more people even going to get hooked up with what is happening here?
By it being on the news and everything, hopefully they'll come down here. But if we have to come to them, we'll go to them.
We've been speaking with Harry from Brownsville, a construction worker who is, what do you know, looking for work.
All day, all week.
And I'm here with two young sisters, and you are?
My name is Sharika Pointer.
I'm Shantia Pointer.
We're from North Carolina.
Wow. What brings you from North Carolina with a button that says, fight like an Egyptian, to Occupy Wall Street?
We're here because we're the 99%. We're here to represent the cause. The banks are corrupt, and we're not getting anything, and the banks are getting bailed out, and we're not getting bailed out. We're getting kicked out of our houses, and we're losing our jobs.
And tell us more about what's happening in North Carolina and what's happening with people in your neighborhood.
North Carolina has one of the highest unemployment rates, and there are foreclosure signs, house for sale signs everywhere.
And how did you hook up with this very large group that's growing exponentially and is now marching from Chase Bank up to Washington Square Park?
I've been watching the movement since it started, so I have them on Twitter, Facebook, and just following all the events that they're doing.
What would you like to see happen as a result of this incredible outsurge of such a diverse number of people?
I hope that our representatives see that we really want change and that they'll just listen to the outcries and help us out.
Sounds good. We wish you well in North Carolina. I just want to ask somebody here who appears to be a healthcare professional. I guess that's why she has a white coat on. And it says, money talks, 99% walks. What do you think of the entire array of events and the incredible numbers of people that have come out here?
It's absolutely amazing that so many people have been able to rally together here at Washington Square Park and speak out against privatized takeover of our healthcare system. People often think of Americans as people who are very passive, but people are angry. People are passionate about this, and it's important that we stand up and speak out about what's important to us, and healthcare is important. First and foremost, it's really important to stop cuts to Medicaid and Medicare. I feel like people who are underprivileged, people who can't afford food, people who don't have access to their doctor, those people need to be able to be able to do those things. Most importantly, they need to be able to pay for their medicines. They need to be able to go to the hospital and not have to worry about these things. So it's very important. I'm Alicia, and I'm an East Bronx physician.
This is an extraordinarily gratifying team of people who have identified themselves as doctors or healthcare professionals, and it says healthcare for the 99%. What has Occupy Wall Street got to do with the issue of healthcare?
So my name is Asiya Channel, and I'm a doctor in the Bronx. There have been a lot of healthcare professionals coming to Wall Street because we see directly that our patients are affected not only by the financial system, but the whole structure of inequality in the U.S., where there's a very few who own the majority of the financial wealth in this country. We see our patients not able to get jobs, not able to get affordable education, housing, and as a direct result, they are ill. They come to us sick. They're not able to get health care because they might be uninsured or underinsured. We're really seeing the effects of this, and that's why we're here to support Occupy Wall Street. A lot of people are joining the effort.
Do you think that the Obama health care law, when it's fully implemented, will help the situation? Or do you think more needs to be done?
I think pretty much everybody here thinks that much more needs to be done. We really need a universal health care policy, single-payer system, like most other Western countries.
Now, we're also here with a huge sign that says Physicians for National...
National Health Program, yeah. And there's also members from the Physicians Alliance, and there should be people from the Doctors Council with the SEIU union. There's been a lot of physician organizations that we've reached out to.
All over the world!
All over the world!
In more than 700 cities!
In more than 700 cities!
People are rising up!
People are rising up!
We are part of that struggle!
We are part of that struggle!
We are watching them!
We are watching them!
And the whole world is watching us!
And the whole world is watching us!
All throughout the day, people all over the city, have been carrying out actions. We are disrupting business as usual.
There are people right now
at the Citibank. 55 LaGuardia.
55 LaGuardia.
And they could use our help.
To
take this city back.
Some of you might want to join them.
Who are you, my brother?
My name is Roy Ben Moshe, and I'm a student at Hunter College at the City University of York, and I am a preschool teacher.
Why don't you tell us what happened?
I was inside with a group of protesters. I was in solidarity with them. They were recounting their stories in Citibank about why they were protesting Citibank, and a couple of those individuals were there to close their accounts publicly in front of a camera and all. When I exited to talk with some friends, security of Citibank came outside, locked up the doors and said that the individuals were going to be under arrest. This was a form of kidnapping. What I gathered afterwards through texting was that they were asked to leave and they were on their way to leave, but they were told that they had to stay because they were going to be under arrest. And when cops came in, a group of my friends said that they were on their way to exit, they should be given a warning. And the cops said, no, they don't get a warning.
The people united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated.
And now as members of Occupy Wall Street have come down en masse to protest what is nothing less than a kidnapping of members of Occupy Wall Street in the bank, there is a full grouping of police that is lining up in a thoroughly intimidating position as people are doing nothing more than claiming the shame of the New York City Police Department for this latest outrage against people who stand with the 99%.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
At 3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock.
A march will be leaving from here.
A march will be leaving from here.
Marching to Times Square.
Marching to Times Square.
We'll be joining tens of thousands of people.
Tens of thousands of people.
To reclaim Times Square.
To reclaim Times Square.
There are thousands at Times Square. Now being joined by marchers coming up from Washington Square Park.
Building bridges, signing off from 42nd Street in Times Square with the tens upon tens of thousands of people, most of whom have been participating in a whole day of activities that stretch from the withdrawal of funds from Chase Bank to Citibank, to teach-ins that went in all afternoon at Washington Square Park, and then a mass conversion of all folks under the common umbrella of We Are the 99%. Stop the concentration of wealth. Redistribute it. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash, and this follows the successful defense of the Occupy Wall Street site in Lower Manhattan against the combined forces of Mayor Bloomberg and Brookfield Management. They're still there for now. We'll continue to help defend them.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.